Ronda Rousey's a has-been, an Oakland Raider has no chains, and the NFL wildcard weekend is going to get crazier than a bunch of Giants on a boat. We got a jam-packed new show, new year, up next on Sports Weekly.
Nice.
Damn, you did that.
Hey guys, we're back. Are y'all bad and bougie?
They can't even hear the song.
All they can hear is
the headphones.
When are we going to work on that, piping that into the studio?
But if they follow us on Insta and then they watch the show, they can put their pieces together.
You're right.
Happy 2017, guys. We miss y'all.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
guys.
Sports Weekly, every single Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We are your favorite sports squad. If you didn't know, now you know, people. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, Instastory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
Oh, yeah.
Josh,
yo,
you.
This music is lit.
What
up? Happy New Year, everybody. It's your boy, Joshua Johnson. Find me all over social media at JJ the Talented.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Love to debate. Hit me up. Let's do it.
Raindrops. Drop dot. What's up, guys? I'm Raina. I'm back with the crew. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BHLOnline. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Although Charlie, who manages our Instagram account, says he's
been dropping the ball, man.
Charlie, but he also said he's going to get off of social media into 2018. Is that true?
Why?
I
don't know.
You know what? New Year, new him.
He got caught.
New Year, new him.
New Year, new him. And New Year, new us, because we might revamp our Instagram page.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We might revamp our show.
We're revamping our show, guys. You guys are the first people to get the first look of our new... Well, our digs are the same, but the show's going to be a little bit different. So stay tuned for the surprises. I mean, come on, J-Rod. You can go ahead and get us led off right here with the lead.
The lead. All right, so I want to talk about Ronda Rousey getting her ass beat by Amanda Nunes. So I'm going to just propose a question straight out. Do you think she should retire? Is this it for her? Or what do you guys think, Josh? I guess
that's it. She gone.
Yeah,
she needs to start making movies or commercials or something, because two losses in a row like that. The way she reacted to her first loss was really bad. I don't see her doing anything different than how she reacted the first time. Like, she takes losing really hard.
She does.
So I don't see her going back to fighting again, especially when I think all the fighters, the female fighters in UFC, really have her number. They've been watching video and film breaking it down. I think they know how to beat her now. She's not unbeatable. She took the sport to great heights and brought the sport to, you know, the public awareness and really built it up. Even Dana White said that, that Ronda Rousey built the sport up. But at this point, I think she needs to just take that L and move on.
At this point, I think I'm starting to think that Ronda Rousey is more hype than she is talented. Now, I don't want to dismiss anything that she actually is able to do in the ring. Obviously, for her to be as dominant as she was for so long, there's a certain skill set that we have to give credit to. But I feel that her success is 75% rooted in hype, and then the other is talent. I think that the UFC, particularly Dana White, has kind of coddled her to make sure they matched her with people they knew that she could beat. And then she faced her two, I guess, her two nemesis.
Kryptonite.
Yeah, kryptonites. Yeah, whatever,
You know, it's crazy that you said that, because I asked that question on Twitter to my UFC friends who follow that, and my friend Justin Hickey, who follows UFC, I'm going to shout him out really quick, he tweeted me back and he said that she's a highly skilled grappler, terrible guidance from her coaches, she's never been a great striker, but too much too soon in regards to fame. So maybe the hype was just a little too much.
Yeah, but she definitely has to be mentally tough, not only as, you know, physically fit to box and be a fighter, but your mental game is probably way more important than, well, I mean, obviously you have to be good, but your mental game plays a huge part in being a fighter. So.
I think
definitely
her,
does.
Her problem was she let her coach get in her head and tell her she could stand with this chick instead of playing her game and trying to take her down and tap her out. So she realized real quick that she's not a boxer.
Yeah, a lot of heat's on her coach.
A boxer chin.
Yep.
Because she came from judo?
Yeah, judo. She's a judo fighter.
Yeah, so her mom's like a champion judo.
And Ronda won bronze.
Yeah.
In the Olympics?
Yeah.
So, but my question for her to have had a year to prepare for Amanda or whoever might be her next competition, how could your coach not better prep you for this? If you know that this boxer or this particular fighter's style is XYZ, how could you not perfect that about your weaknesses so that you wouldn't get knocked the F out in 48 seconds. I don't get that.
Well, I think it also takes, I think both of them, not just the coach. Like, I don't know if this is the same way, but just study her. Like, really know her hits, her moves.
Mm-hmm.
I think a year is a long time. I mean, you could have just, I mean, it could have lasted longer than 48 seconds.
I could have been ready. I know. I'm like, I could have been ready. No, well, not really.
Like I said, I'm not a UFC expert, but from what I understand is that Ronda had to get her to the ground. Mm-hmm. But instead, the coach put thoughts in her head that she could box with Amanda, and she couldn't box with Amanda. So at the end of the day, it was just strategy. It wasn't. She could have prepared all she wanted as a boxer, but it doesn't matter how much she practiced. She still was going to lose to Amanda if she tried to strike with her, and that's what she tried to do. And so she got her ass beat.
It's on the coach.
Yes. From what I'm reading, though, like I said, I'm not a UFC expert. I'm trying to get into it. So people who are listening or watching, comment below. Let us know what we're missing. But from what I'm reading, it's a lot of it is on her coach and the strategy that he implemented for that match.
I don't know if this is, like I said, I'm not a UFC expert either, but if she knew that, why would she still go into fighting
with that coach? And aren't there more people involved in training Ronda? And I mean, because these people, fighters have a team. So there's not just one person in the gym with them, you know, every day. They have a team of people who are training them. So aren't other people around her kind of guiding and seeing what the coach are doing and preparing a game plan for her? Like, how could this happen like that?
I don't know. I don't have the answers.
My answer, though, to one of your questions is it's time for her to hang it up. I don't want to see her in the octagon anymore. I mean, of course, every athlete has to decide when it's the right time for him or her to call it a career. But it's, I don't know. I can't see anything else from her. I can't watch her crying on Ellen's couch anymore.
I want to see her in the octagon.
Why?
Would
you watch it?
Only because, like, it's one of those things where you see the person who's winning all the time. There's that part of you who wants them to keep losing.
No. Well, no. It's kind of like, it's going to be like a reality boxing, like celebrity boxing now. If she gets back into the ring, it's going to be like, oh, who can beat her ass now?
Do you think she's like, she has that competitive edge in her to be like, no, I'm not going to end my career off a loss?
I don't think she's mentally in it anymore.
No.
And I tweeted before the match I thought she was going to lose, not because I knew anything about UFC, but just the way she was handling her business after getting beat by Holly Holm and then before the match, you know, no media. She didn't really seem the same person.
No, she wasn't the same. And I think she's off her game from that first loss.
Yeah.
Because before that, Ronda was brash. She was very outgoing. She was very, what do you call it?
Very braggadocious.
She was talking all kind of trash. And now I think this time she was trying to do something different, but it wasn't her.
It wasn't her. Mm-hmm.
I saw her walk into the arena and it wasn't
defeated.
Yeah, she
right,
walked in
she
defeated.
Did.
Nunes walked in with her girl and she was like ready to fight. Like
anybody.
Yeah. Anybody.
Anybody.
You know, Ronda walks in and she just kind of like, she just looked like you said, Raina, looked defeated.
She did.
Right. And then one more shout out to Justin Hickey. You also added that it's more like the women's game has evolved and her mystique is gone. So it's not so much that, it's just that the fighters that she's going against now are better.
Now,
the woman division is getting better.
Let's be real. Okay.
What?
UFC, Dana White never wanted women in UFC.
True.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was on fire. She's a pretty face that they could put with this for his company that will get them more money. And they knew if they put her in the ring with someone like Cyborg right away, she would get destroyed. So they gave her fighters that they knew she would beat, that she could build this brand up. And now people, like you said, they've studied her game and they know she's got weaknesses and they're capitalizing on them, but she did what she needed to do to get women's MMA on the forefront and not on the back.
But on the flip side of that, I guess to piggyback off of that, I think that because the champ has gone down twice now, more women might become interested because it's like, oh, if she can do it and be the champ, you know, 12 times undefeated, then hell, maybe I could do it too. So maybe this will be a platform for the UFC to have an influx of more women being interested because before it looked like no one could beat Ronda Rousey.
Right.
You had to be this supreme athlete that, you know, was unbeatable because she was. That's what she was.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you are even somewhat interested in fighting, the goal looks attainable now.
I think with Ronda out of the way now, I think the real cream can rise to the top. The real fighters who were, you know, not marketing ploys or not marketing stunts like Ronda Rousey probably was are now going to rise to the top. And you're going to see a lot of, from this, you're going to see the best ones duking it out and providing some really good UFC fighting, I think.
All right, cool.
And J-Rod, you did your shouts out. I'm going to do a little shout out,
too. You got
it. A little humble brag. I didn't get to see the fight live because I was at WWE LA, and I was sitting next to Tito Ortiz.
Hey.
And he was watching the fight on his phone. That's how I found out that Ronda lost because I was sitting next to him and the kids he has with Jenna Jameson. Is that who he has kids from? Is that right?
I have no idea.
I think he has twins from
Jenna.
So they were there, and we were sitting next to him, and we were like, did Ronda lose? And I was checking my Twitter, and then we saw his reaction. I was like, oh, thank you, Tito. Thank you, Tito, for giving me the news. Got some news with NFL this weekend. It's going to get wild. Yes. Maybe not, though, if you're watching the Texans-Raiders game. That's not going to be wild. That's going to be like the worst game.
I think it'll be a good game.
Because the Texans Raiders game?
The Texans Raiders, because you've got the Raiders on their third string quarterback. Mm-hmm. You've got the Texans on their first string, second string. I don't know what you want to call them, quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're putting Brock Osweiler back to the first string. But, mm-hmm. I mean, these two teams, originally, if you saw these two teams match up, you would say Raiders all the way. But now I think they're a little bit more even, and I'll give the edge to Houston because they're at home. And Connor Cook, who the Raiders who are putting out there for quarterback as a rookie, he's never had any NFL starting experience.
I think this is going to be the least intriguing matchup. The only thing that will make it intriguing is that they both suck now. I did get frustrated with the Raiders when Derek Carr went out a couple weeks ago because that defense has been a very integral part of their success. As soon as Derek Carr got hurt, the defense kind of went away. So if the Raiders' defense can be consistent, I do think I have the Raiders winning this game. It does suck, though, for Raider Nation to be on your third-string quarterback.
I hope you're right. Yeah.
Did you pick the Raiders?
No, I had to give it to the Texans, unfortunately.
Texans, Raiders?
I got Texans. Home advantage, home field advantage. I don't know. Rookie quarterback coming in. Third string, tough. I mean. That's tough, man.
In the playoffs, that kind of pressure on you?
I haven't really experienced that yet. I don't know.
I'm taking the Texans too. Connor Cook's third string quarterback. I don't see how he puts up more than 10 points against that Texas defense. You got to remember the Texas defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Okay.
Then on top of that, Brock Osweiler is bad, but he's not as bad as Connor Cook. And they did find ways to win games with Brock throughout the regular season. So it's not like they didn't win with Brock under the helm.
But what is the Texans' record? Aren't they a 9-7 team?
Okay, I get that, but at the same time, a big reason why the Raiders are what they are was because Derek Carr. Their offense can't move the ball without him. And their defense is not playing well right now.
They're not that great. Without Khalil Mack, I don't know who else is.
But their defense was deflated because they fed into the hype without our quarterback, we are nothing.
That's
terrible.
Average at best all year, and they've been underperforming all year. They were supposed to be one of the elite defenses in the NFL this year, and they have not been that this year.
Even though they were okay.
They were solid. I mean,
they have playmakers on defense. The only way the Raiders are going to win this game is they score on special teams or defense. And I don't see that happening.
And the defense wasn't carrying them through. It was Derek Carr carrying them through.
Derek Carr
and his late game heroics.
You're right.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I got the stat down. He was I think he has the NFL record for 5 winning TD drives.
Exactly.
So they're always coming, winning the game from behind.
You're right. But you're wrong because the Raiders are going to win.
I hope you're right.
It's 3-1.
I hope
you're right. So.
Okay. Texans are a very boring team, and I do not want to see him.
Yeah. I want to see my Raiders win and go all the way. They would have, I think, made it to the Super Bowl if Derek Carr was still playing.
Okay. Lions, Seahawks. Are we interested in that game? Is this going to be a snooze fest?
This is going to be a very good game.
People are sleeping on this game.
This is going to be a very good game.
Your boy
Matthew Stafford, Go Dog Sic'em,
can be very surprising.
But I'm worried that the gravity of playing at Seattle in the playoff situation, considering the Lions have not won a playoff game in 25 years, considering that Caldwell was teetering on the hot seat, there's so many other facts. Now listen, Stafford, Golden Tate have proven themselves to be the heart and soul of the offense. Why are you looking like that?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. But can the Lions defense stop the Seahawks offense? I do not know that. And considering the Seahawks are at home.
Yes, at home. And they've won 7 of the last 8 games in January. These Seahawks come through in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a better game. But I do think the Seahawks are going to pull it out. I just think people are kind of sleeping on the entertainment value that this game can have. I think Matthew Stafford will do a little better than people think against that Seahawks defense. But at the same time, I don't see the Lions defense stopping Russell Wilson either. So I think it's going to be like a 27-24 type game. Maybe the Seahawks winning the game, winning field goal. But it's going to be closer than people think.
So when you guys say better game, are you talking like more entertaining?
Yes.
More entertaining, for sure.
Because I'm like, the Raiders and the Texans is going to be a much closer game.
I think that's
why I was calling it a better game.
But you guys said
entertainment value this game?
Yeah,
this entertainment
game.
Value. Oh, dang. Who won? Out of the
back four? And forth? Or what?
Just in general.
So you said the back and forth between Lions and Seahawks. Yeah, it's scoring back and forth.
It's going to be a good game. I think people are sleeping on the entertainment value of this game. It's going to be a good game.
I'm picking the Seahawks, experienced quarterback, and Sierra's his good luck charm. She's going to be there. She has her baby.
Listen, I love Sierra's Instagram is so cute these days. I'm going Seahawks too, though. Although, in my heart of hearts, I do hope the Lions can pull this one off. Well, are we all saying Seahawks?
I'm saying Seahawks, but I think people are not giving a chance to the Lions. And I think the Lions can win this game. I'm not picking them, but
you got
to
pick, man. They can.
I'm just saying Seahawks. I'm saying Seahawks, but the media and everyone's giving the Lions no shot. They can win this game.
I have this note written down. The Lions had three chances to lock up a playoff spot. Yes,
they
did,
and they only got into this playoff spot because Kirk Cousins threw the season away.
But they lost to the Packers. Let's look who they lost against. They lost to the Packers. The hottest team in the NFL right now. They lost to the Giants, who are 11-5. It's not like they lost to slouches. They lost to legit Super Bowl contenders, because I think the Giants are a Super Bowl contender, and I think the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. So at the same time, yes, they did lose to end their season, but they lost against teams that are in the playoffs.
I hope the Lions win, because
Listen, I'm sick of Seattle. I want the Lions to win, too. I'm a big Matthew Stafford fan because of fantasy football. So I would like to see him win the playoff game.
Dolphins at Steelers, to me, another snooze fest.
This seems almost like a runaway, though.
I agree. I'm
Steelers.
Moore? Like, who's Moore? Their quarterback.
Remember him from Hard Knocks.
Matt Moore,
he's
a solid backup, but I don't think he's enough. Actually, I think Tannehill's going to get the start either way.
No, he's not playing.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, he's out.
I was like, that changed my pick. So
are we all going Steelers?
I'm going
landslide.
Giants at Packers is the game of the week.
This is the game of the week.
Yes.
I have nothing intelligent to say. Except
I know
this.
Who I picked, though.
Except this. I do want to say this. In 07, in 2011, you can pull the tape. There's no tape. But I did predict that the Giants in both of those years would win the Super Bowl. I really did. I know it sounds like I'm lying, but I wrote a blog in 2011 about how the Giants would win the Super Bowl.
Really?
But let me tell you why. Because A, I always go with SEC quarterbacks first. And then B, I have an affinity for Eli because he's the little brother. And my sister and I were both at UGA while he and Eli were at Tennessee and Ole Miss. I mean, I'm a little bit young. Doesn't matter. But whatever. So I've always had this affinity for Eli. So I had to go with that same non-basis pick, just based on nothing.
Based on
nothing, essentially.
Who you got, Josh?
Non-scientific analysis here for me.
I got Giants. Josh. I got the Giants in this one. Manning is 2-0 against Green Bay in Lambeau Field. Hard to win in Lambeau Field in the wintertime, by the way.
It is.
It's going to be very cold.
But the Giants are a wintertime team, too, though.
They are.
Or a cold weather team.
Yeah, cold weather. But Lambeau is like, it's Antarctica there.
It is.
And so Giants are 2-0. Or Manning is 2-0. Beckham and Shepard are going to have to, you know, go off and hopefully catch some balls.
balls.
If they can't slip out of their hands with the iciness. But I give it to the Giants.
Icy balls.
I give it to the Giants.
I'm going with the Giants too. I mean, just like she has, Eric has an affinity for Eli. I got an affinity for Odell.
Okay.
So I think that if Eli connects with his receivers, they can get this, man. And I think this is them.
I know what you're gonna say, man.
All right, my heart says Giants, my head says Packers.
But you got
you live in, you know, you're
pick,
from
Josh.
New York.
You are from New York.
I'm a Giants fan.
You're from the... Oh, that's like the Raiders.
You can't pick...
Never bet with your heart.
You don't.
So I'm picking the Packers.
But you can't bet against Eli Manning in the playoffs.
I know, but this is
you
why.
You cannot bet against Eli.
This is why. Eli's struggling this year. The defense is playing very solid.
He struggles every year.
No, he does. He's not. No, he doesn't struggle every
year. And in the playoffs...
Regular season?
He's inconsistent. He doesn't struggle every
year. Okay.
He's consistent in the playoffs.
I get that, but he's a little older now. I think the offensive struggles is not so much Eli as it is McAdoo and the lack of creativity of play calling.
That's
true. Defenses play like a single cover two against them, so Odell can't get deep. You know, just they figured out how to stop the Giants' offense. And if the Packers can limit a big play from Odell Beckham, I think they're going to win. I think they will do that. I also think Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to make plays against that defense. He can run from that rush. He's a very mobile quarterback. He can make plays on his feet. So...
But the Packers last week were very, like, their penalties wrecked. They wrecked some major penalties.
I think they're really hot right now. The defense is getting healthy. I just don't see the Giants putting up enough points to win the game. I don't. And it breaks my heart to say that, and I hope I'm wrong. But my head's telling me Packers.
So we all say Giants, and you say Packers.
The Giants fan says Packers.
The New Yorker.
Okay.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Traitor.
I'm sorry. I actually, you know what? I don't want to spoil it.
What?
We'll talk about it later.
No, talk about it now.
Do it now.
I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
Cowboys.
Doc.
Dak Ryder. We're Dak Riders.
And Dak, we trust.
I call him Doc.
You call him Doc?
Because, never mind. I can't show you why, but I call him Doc, but...
Oh, tell me.
No, not now. I'll call later.
Okay. Share with us all.
Chick thing. It's me, McCall, and Erica. We're a little insider.
We're Dak Riders, but somebody... Right. Big deal.
Big deal. Big deal.
What's the big deal?
I don't know. You don't talk about it. Big deal or not? Odell.
Odell. Yes. You take this. Yeah, this is me. Odell and his teammates were partying. This is the picture that I have. Trey Songz, Odell. I have a question of why he's wearing Tim's on a boat. That's a New York thing, though,
right?
It is
a New York thing. Tim's are acceptable everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
That's not a Cali thing, so.
Weddings, funerals, clubs, boats.
I mean, yeah, that's them partying.
Graduation parties.
And the thing is, though, this is in Miami.
Miami.
This is during season. So my question to the team, like, is this a big deal for them to be partying during season? Or is it not a big deal for them to just be out casually?
I don't think it's a big deal at all, but I do think that when the Giants lose on Sunday, people are going to make it a big deal.
When was it?
Monday of this Monday. Week.
Oh, this
it was their off day, though. It was their off day as they get ready for playoffs.
You can do whatever you want. As long as you show up to the practices and the meetings you're supposed to show up to and you're focused, that helps some people get focused.
It does. And if you look at some of the analysts, particularly the older white analysts, they are all saying, this is wrong. They shouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have taken this chance. Yeah. It's almost as if they're being looked at as some thugs having fun, you know, too much fun during the season.
A posse.
A posse having too much fun during the season right before you're getting ready to go into playoffs. And my thing is this. We saw what Johnny Manziel did while he was right there in Cleveland. You know, he was on his off days getting drunk, having bottle service.
Probably on game days.
In Cleveland. I mean, God rest his soul, but the kid from the Marlins, Jose Fernandez, you know, was partying during the season, on a game day, although he wasn't starting. So, to me, you don't have to look down upon people partying on an off day just because it's out of the state that you're supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of BS happens in state, in the city,
exactly,
at parties, at clubs, on a boat, and you can be in the same city. So, I don't think it's a big deal.
And these guys have the resources to make that trip
as easy
as possible. Right. Exactly. So you don't have to worry about stress. You don't have to worry about time being spent, like, traveling. It's no big deal.
I think they made it a big deal because it is Miami and Trey Songz, Justin Bieber are there. But let's be real. Pro athletes party during season all the time. It might be the day before a game. It just happened to be somewhere else. So I don't think this was a big deal. Trey Songz didn't think it was a big deal either. I mean, he posted. I think Eli made a.
Eli took up for them, kind of.
Yeah, he's like he said he took this picture. So
he stood up.
I was like, look at you with some jokes. Right. I like that.
Yeah, but if they lose, watch the narrative.
Okay,
it shouldn't be.
I agree. It shouldn't be.
It's your off day.
People are gonna blame it. People are gonna blame that for the loss, especially if Odell plays bad. Or if the wide receiver core plays bad and drops a couple passes, don't blame it on Miami.
Right.
What were they supposed to do?
On their off day. I guess
study film.
With their hands in their lap just sitting there.
Now, personally, I probably would not have taken that kind of trip right before a major playoff game. I probably would have been the nerd studying film.
I definitely would, too.
You got to, like, clear your head and get loose, though. You know,
I can't function as that. Like, as an athlete, like, I could not party during season. That was one of the things that I'm like, I mentally, I can't do this.
Yeah.
The only time I party was on my birthday. But I could not party during season because, like, just one night, it's still you're out late. You have on my off day. You're just recovering from that night instead of, you know, getting extra shots up. Like, you can do more to elevate your game.
Yeah.
So, I personally couldn't do it either.
Jump in, someone. Who got next?
You go. Round up.
You go.
Okay. Oh, Josh, this is you, though. This is your team.
What is it?
Raiders, down to the third string quarterback.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that, though.
Okay.
We
did. Is that a big deal or not? Big deal? It is a big deal.
Big deal.
Well, it's sure. They were Super contenders.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Duke.
Mm. Oh, Grayson Allen tripping his third opponent in the past calendar year. I think this is crazy. Now, Duke suspended him indefinitely at first. But
that was for the public.
Right. That indefinite suspension only ended up being one game.
Because it was over the span of a Christmas break, so it made it appear longer.
But if you really want to send a message, you got to really, you know, drive the message home and not suspend it for one game. You got to make it at least five. Am I being too harsh with five? Especially the way he threw a temper tantrum after he was taken out the game, being that this is his third time doing it. He's developing a reputation as a dirty player. People think he has mental problems because of what he's doing.
He looks like he has mental problems. Mm-hmm.
I say get the guy some help. Check him out as far as psychiatric help because it seems like he has issues stemming from childhood. And it's not a good look when you're coming out of games, you're tripping people, but you're going crazy like that. And he's done this before, not just the tripping, but just these episodes where he's like really hard on himself and really – Right. I don't know. He just really goes in on himself.
And then on top of that, the one game that he missed, they lost. So it kind of looks like, all right, we lost without Grayson. Let's get him back in there.
Let's get him back, yeah.
You know, he almost doesn't really learn a lesson. It's almost like, oh, we need you. We need you. And it almost reinforces his behavior a little bit.
That puts the coach in, like, the tough decisions. Like, can we win without Grayson? And, you know, do I stick up from, like, my team and my standards to, you know, suspend him indefinitely and we can play with who we got? So just, like, no tolerance for that type of behavior. Or do I need him, you know, suspend him from one game and that's it?
But, well, okay, so my question is this. So we have to also factor in the fact that he was stripped of his captainship, so he's no longer the captain.
That's good.
That doesn't mean anything.
You don't think that means anything?
I was captain of my high school basketball team. I didn't care I was
you
captain.
You were captain at Duke, though.
But yeah. I don't think I would care if I was captain at Duke.
I'm with you. I don't think it matters that much.
Would you care?
To strip me of that.
I knew you played college basketball. Would you care?
I would.
All right.
I would. Well, but maybe it's just we're women.
Maybe it's a girl thing.
It's a girl thing. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think people care.
You don't think people
care?
Okay.
I don't people care.
Well, I just
I think you're viewed as a leader regardless of the title.
Okay.
But I think having the title makes you do more. And I think him just getting that off, I mean, I don't think that affected Grayson at all. But that was just a dirty, I can't. I would hate playing against him.
Stephen A. Smith, I think it was Stephen A. Smith who made this point. I could be wrong. Someone on ESPN made this point that we have no idea of the kind of backlash that he might get as a white player playing against mostly black players. So, yeah, we see the tripping. I'm not taking up for him for doing that, for being a dirty player. But just as when, you know, the whole, who said, somebody, was it Kevin Garnett who told Carmelo that Lala's vagina tastes like Skittles or something like that?
Cheerios.
Like,
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah.
So, Kevin Garnett did.
Right. That's so dirty. So what all we see as a spectator is the reaction. We don't hear what was said to make someone act how Grayson acted.
But Kevin Garnett said that. He actually physically tried to hurt him.
But my point is that we don't know what kind of trash talking that Grayson Allen has to endure as being one of the only prolific white kids in basketball. So I'm not taking up for him.
Right.
No. I'm just saying that this could be a reaction to being ridiculed, to, you know, being called a white boy, you think you can ball.
Show him that you can ball.
He's showing her.
But I'm saying, like, show him with your skills. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the way to, like...
I mean, he showed him with the skills. He's averaging 17 points a game.
I'm sorry.
Right, and he's not... In the college basketball, it's more... You'll see more, I guess, white superstars, like you want to put it. Like, there are white people who can ball in college basketball. So he's not the only white college kid who's...
He's the only one whose name I know right now.
Okay, but at the same time, like, throughout college history, he's not the only one. He's not going to be the last. So I wouldn't use that as an excuse because... You know, Leitner went through it. You know, I just...
J.J.
Yeah, J.J. Redick. I just don't... I mean, half of Duke.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, when I think Duke, I think white kids.
Yeah.
I do.
I think there was an article I was reading, and a couple of his coaches from his younger days mentioned that he played soccer, and it was more of like a reaction from playing soccer, using your feet all the time. And he just had a quick reaction because he's so used to doing that.
Oh,
what do you guys think?
That's an excuse.
BS. Sorry. Hell no.
That's an interesting way to spin the story.
I played basketball with a lot of soccer kids, and I'd never seen a soccer kid do that.
That was just intentional.
Did Draymond Green play soccer? Just one I'm just asking.
Draymond Green's more like kickboxing the way he's like.
Right. Yeah, that was a little different.
His was literally just put out his butt.
It's dirty.
Wait, so
he needs to get beat up.
So
for that.
Is it a big deal? Is it a big deal that he only was suspended for a game?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
it should have been more. Big deal or not?
Because it doesn't teach him a lesson
at all.
You get suspended for one game, and then your team's like, "Oh, we need you, come back in," and then you don't learn your lesson.
He will probably do this again.
We'll see. We should take
bets. Or something dirtier.
We should take bets.
Like, something. We'll I just feel like he's just going to pull something. Like, he's just never going
to
get in trouble.
Right. It might not be a leg sweep. It might be like a little elbow to the midsection or something.
Big deal or not, Lane Kiffin's not coaching Alabama as a offensive coordinator for the national championship game. This is interesting because Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban had this ongoing contentious relationship, and it finally culminated in Lane Kiffin either getting fired, we don't know, or Lane Kiffin making the decision to go ahead and fulfill his duties as FAU's head coach. Lane Kiffin says that I could have coached if I wanted to coach this game. Nick Saban was like, not so fast. No, you could not have. So is it a big deal that whatever's going on in the Crimson Tide's locker room, that Nick Saban said, peace out, we don't want you for this national championship game. Big deal or nah?
It's a big deal for the fact that they shouldn't be doing this before this big game. It's not a big deal because Alabama's still going to win the game.
Oh, okay. Right.
I actually kind of agree with everything he just said. It's, okay. It's also not a big deal because their offense is not very complicated.
It's not. Very vanilla.
Jalen Hurts, yeah. He went 7 for 14 for 57 yards last game. So they're not running any sophisticated passing plays. It's really not that serious. They just pretty much run the ball down your throat.
Right.
They're 26th in the nation in rushing yards, which, you know, is a lot of college football teams. So that's in the upper echelon. If they were any type of offense where it involved him calling plays and the quarterback making decisions, then yeah, I would say it's a big deal. But since Bama's more predicated on their defense, mm-hmm. and their defense kind of runs that ship, I don't think it's as big of a deal as it normally would be.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Big deal. Josh.
But I do think Clemson's going to win.
Do you? Okay. Both predictions are coming soon. J-Rod, I almost agree with you because most of Bama's points, or a large part of Bama's points this year, have been scored on defense.
Right.
So you're right. Their offense is very vanilla. But I think it's a big deal because Lane Kiffin has a very checkered track record as a head coach at Tennessee, on the Raiders, right. USC, now Bama. So everywhere he goes, he kind of shits on the program.
He doesn't have the best reputation.
He doesn't. So for those reasons, this is a big deal to me because you're securing your reputation as a villain in college football. And although that hasn't hindered him from getting another head coaching job, it still, to me, is a big deal that Nick Saban, one of the greatest college coaches of all time, is going to jeopardize his offense. As pedestrian as it is,
right.
You're jeopardizing your offense before the biggest game of the year.
So it's a big deal, but for a different reason.
Yeah, but you got to say no big deal.
I'm saying no big deal in terms of the national championship game and Alabama and how they're going to fare, because okay. I still think right. they're going to win. But in what you're saying, then yeah, it's a big deal. If you're talking Lane Kiffin okay. personally, then I can buy into the big deal. But for Bama, no. I don't think it's a big deal.
Josh, come on. You hadn't talked to us at all tonight.
I just said.
No, talking about fair foul. Fair foul. Can't call
What's
it.
Next?
Fair foul.
Oh, so. Did you? Okay, we got the video on this. Aqib Talib snatched Michael Crabtree's chain during the Broncos versus Raiders game.
That was some hood shit.
He was on some Debo right here. Can we cue that up? We have the video link.
Trying to find it.
Yeah, okay. Give him time.
Yeah, this was really funny. But before we watch this though, you guys all seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Fair foul, can't call it. What do you say?
Foul.
Foul as hell.
Foul.
Just terrible.
Like late on a fastball, hit down the first baseline.
This
foul.
Guy. Because the last time I saw him in the media, I mean, he's playing every week, but...
Who, which one?
Talib. He was standing up for his teammate against Harry Douglas.
Let's see what the bully does.
The bully.
This guy's a straight-up bully.
Yeah. He's
a
thug.
Ripped it apart. Look at this, and then when he goes to the sideline, he brags about it.
And he's laughing, like that's kind of it's bullyish, but it's also like this weird pettiness to it too. Like, yo, you're on the field playing football.
He went straight Debo on that.
Yeah, exactly. But why does it?
Did you see here his post game interview on why he did it? He's just like, I told him I don't want to see him wearing that chain. So I snatched it.
Really?
That's childish.
It's not verbatim. Like that's not exactly what he said. But he's just like, I mean. I snatched it, and I'm just
he's
like,
outside of him wearing that chain. Like,
I bet you wouldn't do that in the streets in a dark alley.
For real. And Crabtree took the high roads. I got to applaud Michael Crabtree because, I mean, any other guy I know, especially guys who wear chains, they're very, very protective about their chains. That's like talking about someone's mom.
Foul.
It is.
Can Crabtree, I mean, is there any, like, something they could do, like, through the NFL to punish Aqib for that?
No.
No.
Like, as far as personal property goes.
No, you can't, because first of all, you have no business wearing a 12-inch gold chain playing football anyway.
It's still yours. It's still your property. No one has the right to snatch it from you like that, especially purposely.
But you can always argue the point that it was not on purpose, because you can always.
Oh, come on!
Not that particular incident, but during a play, like at the bottom of a pile, we don't always see what happens. So you can always find a way to argue, oh, I didn't know, or it was not on purpose.
But in a case as obvious as that.
I guess you can't argue that.
I think if you find Talib for that, then you have to get ready to go down the slippery slope of people losing earrings or earrings getting snatched or this or my towels. You can't do that.
No. So maybe not for property, but just as a kind of like a unsportsmanlike conduct fine.
Yeah, because that.
I'm trying.
So that's weird.
Trying.
It's weird. Like, it's you so don't really weird. See that happen? It's
why did he
like,
do that?
Because he
that takes it outside of football. It does. Makes it very personal.
True.
Like, where are they? Where are they? Where are they from? Are they from California? Either of them?
I have no idea where they're from.
I do agree with some things just happen when you are playing. You might pull something. You know, out. One time I was playing flag football, I pulled out a girl's braid by accident.
You didn't mean to?
No,
you
I was trying to pull the flag. And she was wearing long, like, long,
that's her problem.
Individual.
That's her problem.
And I snatched it. Yeah, flag football.
How you wear long braids down to your hip?
That's what I'm saying.
How you wear a long chain playing football? No chain.
He probably started off with it tucked.
I walked right into that.
It was out, I think. But at some point, I'm sure in the beginning of the game, he had it tucked. He had to have, because that's very stupid to play football with your chain on in the first place and then outside of your shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope he had it tucked in, but either way, that's foul.
We all say foul.
Man, my grandmama gave me that chain.
Right, seriously. What if it was of sentimental value?
But a
value?
Lot of people do it. And I know Jimmy's kidding, but like, a lot of athletes, and I know a lot of people who wear.
That's my mother, true. My grandmother gives me.
That's people, so like my grandmother's wedding ring. Like,
So does he get it back? Did he get it back?
His chain?
He ripped that.
Like, Pop's tripping. But he wanted to ask for my chain back.
Right.
He wanted to ask for my chain back.
It's both ours, but we keep it at my house.
Right. Fair foul. Announcer Brent Musburger praises Joe Mixon's on-field talent in the wake of footage from the 2014 altercation. You guys might remember that Joe Mixon is the running back from Oklahoma who got into the altercation in 2014, where he was suspended for a year from the team, set out the 2015 season, one of the most prolific running backs that Oklahoma has right now. We think he's declaring for the draft, or maybe he already has. At any rate, even though the incident was 2 years old, we didn't see the footage until right after Christmas. But the footage, and if you guys haven't seen the footage, I don't know if you've seen the footage, Raina, but the footage basically shows Mixon going into this cafe, getting ready to confront this guy. The guy is with his female friend, and from the video, looks like the girl, white girl, antagonizes Joe, pushes him, slaps him in the face, and then Joe, like, pops
hit her with
a
right hook.
A right hook and a left. I mean,
straight
he.
Straight up, Amanda Nunes.
He did. He knocked her the F out.
It was
out.
Bad. It was bad.
So, the story is that people are saying that the video should not have been released when it was because it was just only released now to affect his draft stock. Brent Musburger says that regardless of what happens, he's happy that Mixon had a second chance and that he hopes he has an successful NFL career. Twitter, social media went crazy saying that Musburger was out of line. How could he support this woman beater? So, I don't guess the fair or foul question, can't call it question, is was Brent Musburger out of line for praising Joe Mixon's on-field talent during the Sugar Bowl and for saying that he hopes he has a successful NFL career?
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay, this is what I'm going to say about this whole domestic violence thing. There are players in the league right now, for instance, Tyreek Hill, who plays for the Chiefs. He choked and hit his pregnant wife. And you have Kansas City Chiefs fans cheering for him every Sunday on the football field. Now, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're cheering for someone like Tyreek Hill and you have a problem with those
times,
then you're a hypocrite.
Okay.
You have to be consistent on this issue. Either you are mad that every player who has been accused, or I wouldn't say accused, convicted of domestic violence is in the league. You have to be mad at it or completely against it. You can't be, oh, he's on my team so we can get away with it. But if someone else says something about someone who's going into the league, then get mad at it. It's just, you have to be consistent.
Preach.
So, not to answer the question, is it fair or foul? I don't know. It's tough to tell. I believe in giving people second chances.
Okay.
I am, but domestic violence to me is you know.
So you're saying that it's foul that Brent Musburger was singing his praises? Damn, J Rod, you're the police right here.
But what I'm saying though is that if I say foul, then everyone who hears me say that it's foul has to keep me to the standard that I say this about people like Ray Rice, that I say this about Tyreek Hill, that I say this about every single person who's been convicted or who is known to have hit their spouse or another female. Because then it's just inconsistent, and then it's just being a hypocrite if I'm not.
Okay. Raina, you also say
I'm not for guys hitting women at all. Like, regardless of the fact that she was hitting him, whatever. Mm-hmm. I know she was wrong, definitely. She shouldn't have done that. But as a woman, if a guy had ever hit me, or I wouldn't even if I'm so mad at a guy, I would never try and hit him. I'll get knocked out. If I do get knocked out, I'm taking their ass to.
Okay.
But I'm not with domestic violence. I'm with Josh on that. Second chances, I definitely think that people deserve second chances, but domestic violence, I'm not for.
I'll say this, though. I don't think he should be ridiculed for what he said. It's his opinion, and I think people who are willing to give other people a second shot shouldn't be criticized.
Oh, they're calling. I mean, social media police are calling for Musburger to step down.
It doesn't mean that he supports domestic violence.
It doesn't. Exactly.
It doesn't mean it at all. He just thinks that, listen, this guy made a mistake, and I believe that he should be given a second chance and another opportunity to make a living doing what he does best. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
JJ.
If we're limiting Musburger's comments to his on-the-field conduct, then, yeah, that's fair. I mean, he can certainly praise his ability on the field. If you're going to then say he deserves a career in the NFL, there are guys now who have had domestic violence cases in the NFL who don't have a job now. So I see, I mean, if the NFL is going to, you know, keep guys out of the league who are committing domestic violence, then Joe Mixon probably falls under that same, you know, banner.
So is it fair or foul for Musburger to make those comments that he supports Mixon having a successful career?
For the record, I'm fair, not foul.
Okay.
Because I think he has the right to say what he said. Sorry. I just want to get that out there.
Yeah, yeah, he has the right to say it.
I mean,
for sure.
Mixon was foul, you know, but to punch the girl. Social media has been an amazing, interesting dynamic for us.
Equalizer?
I can't even call it an equalizer all the time. It shows people's true colors, oftentimes.
Mm. Yes.
Sometimes people tweet, but they're not really about that life.
True, that's a good point. Okay, I like that. I think that people should be held accountable. But I always go back to this when we talk about domestic violence in sports. The man down the street, your neighbor is hitting his wife. You know, your preacher is molesting kids and hitting, you know, his wife.
Right.
The CEO of whatever tech company is down the street from your house could be abusing his wife, too. And I know that NFL players and college players are held to a different standard because they're in the spotlight more than Joe Schmo down the street. But I don't think that having an incident like domestic violence should prohibit a person from having a second chance at life. And I felt the same way about, you know, Michael Vick. And I cheered for the Falcons when Vick was a quarterback. And a lot of the reason I had a hard time continuing cheering for the Falcons was because I felt like the whole Falcons organization turned their backs on Vick and didn't give him a second chance. Now, granted, like, financially, I don't think they could. But just the whole tone of the city and of the organization, they treated him like he had killed people. I'm like, y'all, anybody from the South knows that dog fighting and cock fighting is a way of life. Don't act like because this got national press that this was something that this is new to you. So going back to the whole Joe Mixon thing, I think it was completely fair for Musburger to express his sentiments of having Joe Mixon having a second chance at life. He had deserved a second chance at life. Period.
To add to what you were saying, I also think it depends on whether Mixon is remorseful, how, you know, people, how he responds to what he did. I mean, if he's not apologizing for it, if he's, like, trying to vindicate himself, then that's another thing, you know?
He did his 100 hours of community service. He was suspended for a year. You know, he's been very humble, whether or not it's a PR, you know?
I just mean in general. Okay. I think it has a large part to do with it, too. I mean, let's just say I hit Raina and I'm trying to justify it, you know, and I'm, you know, not taking responsibility for my actions, then someone like that doesn't really deserve a second chance. But if you're remorseful, if you do your time, if you really show, like, listen, I know I made a mistake and I deserve a second chance, and yes, someone like that deserves a second chance. So I do think it's situational as well.
Okay.
But I still think that, I don't know, like, domestic violence and hitting a woman, that's something that, me personally, I don't have a lot of tolerance for.
We get one more fair foul, bless you, Raina.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta run through it.
Yeah, so Clemson, this is kind of weird. Clemson's defensive lineman, Chris Wilkins, inappropriately touched Ohio State's running back, Curtis Samuel, during the game. And by inappropriate, I really mean inappropriate.
He grabbed that booty.
Not the booty. Well, he grabbed it. He went a little bit further up in there. Deeper in that thing. Let's see. We can play this video.
Look at
then
that.
Then he went, look.
Oh, he like wiped his booty with his hand. Let's see it.
Like.
And maybe he has a
fetish.
He
grabbed it for, and then he went under to get the. Right. Like he was reaching for his nuts or something.
That's what it, yeah.
Look at that. Wilkins is getting
off. Wow.
He gave him a prostate exam.
He did.
Like.
Turn the left and cough.
Oh, here comes slow motion.
Right.
Here it is.
There it is.
It's just like, ew.
Like, he grabbed there. Now he's going deeper.
Watch this. Man.
Now watch this.
Maybe it felt good to him. Got me.
What?
What? What? I mean, don't you guys have to get massage right there? I'm just asking questions.
Not on the 40-yard line. By an opponent.
Right? By an opponent.
Look, the only thing I could say, I'm not even defending it, but you know how when you're on the field, on the pile, especially on a pile, mm-hmm. like there are players in there who are doing all kinds of things to get you to lose the ball and drop the ball.
That's definitely not a pile.
He was not involved. It wasn't a pile, you're right. And he was not really involved as far as like having the, like he was not making a play for the ball.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He was making a play for the ball.
He was making a play for the ball.
Yeah, he ran over and was like, oh, look, sack. Yeah, and he like, that's foul. Foul, foul, 100% foul.
I mean,
and listen, if that's what you like, that's what you like.
But I can't. No, I'm gonna say I can't call it. I'm gonna say I can't call it.
Why can't you call it?
I can't call it because, like you said, that kind of stuff happens in the pile. Granted, that was not in the pile. That was for everyone to see. We don't know what's happened during the course of a game. You know, maybe I don't know.
What were his intentions?
He said he was just joking around, and
what guy jokes like that?
That's when I like. What? I think he's getting a lot. I think he's getting like a lot of backlash, and she's embarrassed on social media because this went viral, and people are just saying some remarks about what he's doing, and he's.
I can't call it.
Have you ever grabbed your boy's penis?
No,
playing around.
No.
I mean, but football players. A lot of that kind of stuff happens. Again, we keep going back to in the pile.
What's the relationship between?
It wasn't in the pile, but I mean, I don't know. It's
foul in the pile.
It's foul.
Pile.
I'm trying to figure out a way
foul
around
outside
this.
Outside the pile.
Like, remember how we were growing up and you used to like, I mean, you like throw a tennis ball at your boys.
Listen, he
I can't call it.
That's like, sexual assault.
Or like you get him.
That is sexual assault.
That is assault.
That's sexual assault. There's no way you can justify that. But, that's foul.
But a lot of stuff happens on the field. A lot of sexual assault incidents happen on
was
the field.
Was it retaliation?
Doesn't mean it's fair.
Was it retaliation?
But I can't call it.
Ah,
can't call all right. it.
Touche.
In case you missed it, y'all, we're wrapping up our show. In case you missed it, the Spurs mascot and the dancer spoofed Mariah Carey's New Year's Eve performance. Mm-hmm. We have a video of that too. Y'all, if y'all saw Mariah Carey's, like look at this mascot who is pretending to be Mariah Carey.
They had the feathers and everything.
Got the bodysuit. They're singing. He's singing along to, or lip syncing along to the song, to one of Mariah Carey's hits. And then look.
Wait a minute.
Oh, he can't hear it. He can't hear the feed.
Oh, man.
Oh, look, the dancers keep
but the
right
music's
on
still
dancing.
Going.
They're still going. But look how confused the mascot is. Oh, look at Mariah. Look how confused Mariah Carey is.
Oh,
I can't hear it.
The dances are still on point, though.
Right. So, in case you miss Mariah Carey, make a complete idiot of herself, you can look at her all over the internet, all over social media, and then you can go refer to the Spurs mascot and the dancer spoofing Mariah Carey, which was funny as hell.
That was hilarious.
That's fair. Oh, wait, that's not the same.
That's fair.
Also, in case you missed it, Serena Williams. Sorry, Josh.
Mm.
She's engaged.
Yeah. That's foul.
Alex Ohanian put a ring on it.
Do you believe that she really is into him right now?
No.
What? Why not?
Why do you not believe that she's really into him?
Because she went from common to fine ass. Too. I'm not saying. Alex is cool. He's all right. I don't know. I think she was just ready to get married. And
can Alex handle all that?
So y'all know Serena on a personal basis.
That's my homegirl.
Yeah,
she right.
Yeah, you know what she, you know what she likes.
But I didn't
you know
see this on social. I follow
kidding.
Her all over
Alex,
the place.
You cool, man. I'm totally joking, by the way.
How come nobody, did anybody know about this?
No, I mean.
I didn't know about this until like it actually was like on out. And then I'm like, whoa. Yeah,
she never said anything.
I think they had like a relationship. Or not really. They had a picture on Instagram about a year and a half ago during Halloween. But besides that, no one really knew. And Raina, I'm with you. I don't think that she. I'm not in anybody's relationship, but I don't think that you go from Common and Drake with that big old booty to Alex. Not that Alex can't handle the booty. Maybe
he
Alex.
He probably can't.
Maybe
probably,
Alex is working the booty.
Probably, yeah.
JJ, Jay Ryder.
Yeah. I know Josh.
I'm happy for the guy.
I call that's foul.
I'm happy for the guy.
That's not even the right.
I'm happy for the guy.
Josh is waiting for you, Serena. Man.
Listen, if he got down and proposed to her, that means they have history. That means that there's some type of relationship there. And she said yes. That means there's some type of connection there. She's not going to say yes to anybody.
You don't think it's like a celebrity, like, staged marriage? Like, no?
But dude has some money, though. Serena has money, but this guy has
she don't need money.
Billions.
I thought, well, listen.
He's obviously a really smart guy if he co-founded Reddit, so maybe she likes him for his mind.
No, listen, there's more to a relationship than the booty and the money.
Yeah.
But, is it?
I think it's kind of silly that we're kind of here like, is she into him? I don't think she's into him. How do you know? We don't know Serena Williams to know if she's into him or not.
We don't.
I know you want somebody who can handle it.
All I know is that he proposed, she said yes.
In case you missed it.
You know what? I'm with JJ. Josh R. on that one.
Thank you.
I'm all for love, man.
Serena. I'm all for love, too, but there's some certain things that you know.
I mean, just because the Kardashians staged their wedding, I don't know.
How do you really feel about it? Like,
listen, we're gonna have join Sports Weekly after the show to hear how I really feel about this Serena and Alex engagement.
She's gonna go on Instagram. Snap.
On your Instagram. Right,
I'll do it on Instagram Snap. Okay, JJ.
NFL Hall of Fame was announced.
In case you missed it.
The finalist. And Terrell Owens is part of the group yet again.
No.
Should he be inducted in the Hall of Fame? Erica says no.
What?
Not this first time. This is
his.
Why? Hold on.
Go ahead.
This is his first time being on the ballot, right?
No, this is his second time.
Second.
Okay, I didn't know it was his second time.
Even if it's the first, he's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Eric, listen, 6 Pro Bowls, 5 First Team All-Pro, 1,078 receptions, which is 8th all-time, 15,934 reception yards, which is 2nd all-time, 153 reception touchdowns, which is 3rd all-time, and he has 10 seasons in the top 10 of touchdowns. Listen, this guy is one of the best receivers of all time. There's no reason why he should have been in the first place.
He came with receipts.
Thank you for the receipts. I think what happens. I think what happens is that because he's been out of the league so long, and because his personal life has been so sordid, it's hard for the average person, and I guess I'm the average person, to remember all those receipts. All I do is think about these reality shows and how he doesn't pay the
bills. But it has nothing to do with what he's
doing.
But for Hall of Fame voters, though, they got to look at stats, and speak for themselves.
But if they really only looked at stats and not what you've done post-career, then he would have already been in.
And that's another thing. Like, I'm sure there's drug users in the Hall of Fame.
Right? You see what I'm saying? Thank you.
But they're holding him out for silly reasons, because he was, he was a little difficult to deal with?
No. I mean, I'm not saying that's right.
Come on, it's ridiculous.
He should have already been in.
In case you missed it, Chloe and Tristan.
Yeah, Chloe and Tristan. I hate that we're ending it off on them.
Would you say for Terrell?
In or not?
Okay.
He's in. Yeah, well, we're ending off Chloe and Tristan.
No, are we?
No, let's not do that.
We
don't want to diminish our show by talking about those people.
Let's just do the college football.
Let's do NFL real quick. That's long.
Wait, what is MVP announced? When did they announce MVPs?
Oh, that's like Super Bowl weekend.
Okay, so we'll do that next week.
Okay.
College football national championship, I say Clemson.
Clemson.
Okay.
Bama. Clemson, really?
I don't know.
I was so bitter about last year's game. I was bitter about last year's game.
Bama. I want Bama.
I mean, I want Bama. I don't know. Clemson.
I want
Bama. Clemson, Bama.
Bama 23-13.
Okay, and we'll do our MVP and Rookie of the Year picks maybe next week.
I'm sorry, not Matt Ryan.
We better.
Dak, Rookie of the Year. Guys!
All right.
Happy New Year.
It's good to be back.
Happy New Year.
Can we end with every Thursday? Bad and Bougie.
Bad and Bougie, Raindrop, Drop Top. Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Sports Weekly. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, InstaStory, on Twitter, at Erica Renee D.
Hey. Let's go Raiders. I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Debate me on anything that I said today on this show. Let's do it.
And I'm Raina. I'm trying to go to the beat, but I can't. I'm Raina. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. Give me a shout out. Instagram, let's talk. Don't debate with me because I'm petty.
She's a chain snatcher.
I'm changed this year. Remember?
Petty LaBelle. As always, follow things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. We're going to revamp that. And we are so happy to be back next Thursday at 7. Be bad and bougie. Until then, see ya.
Hey. Show me boobies. Ice on my neck on the coolest. How about the suicide with the ooze?
I pull up, I pull up, I pull up, I hop out with all of the drugs and the good luck. I'm cooking, I'm whipping into it, rock up, let it lock up. I gave her 10 racks, I told her go shop.
We would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at King XO Bay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.